tonight's topic, radical solution, radical proposals, excuse me, to solve the Aguna problem. The Aguna problem is a very painful one, intractable, and many great minds in the Torah world have attempted over the years to try to find ways to overcome it. Well over 100 years ago, a proposal was suggested in Western Europe. In France, there was some kind of a centralized system going back to Napoleon, some kind of a quasi-Sanhedrin. And they decided to have the following suggestion. Let's make every marriage conditional. Conditional marriage, we call Kiddushin al Tanai. If a certain something happens down the road, the marriage is no marriage. So of course, the particular example which was given, if down the road the man is required to give his wife a get and doesn't do so, if that happens, and the Beis Din says that it happens, so then the Kiddushin is a nullity from the very beginning, from the onset. It's called Kiddushin al Tanai. Now of course, these rabbis had a precedent. Nothing happens without any precedent whatsoever. And the precedent is found in the Shulchan Aruch. Yes. Shulchan Aruch Ebene Ezer, which is the authoritative work, in a particular case, discusses the possibility of Kiddushin al Hatnai. What's the case? The case is as follows. I quote from Yerama Kuf Nun Zayin Dalet. Hamakadesh Isha V'yesh La'ach Mumar. A man marries a woman. He has a brother who is a Mumar, who has unfortunately converted to another religion and cannot be counted upon to act appropriately. Yochol L'kadesh U'lahasnos B'tnai Kofu, a proper condition. Shem Tipo L'fnei Mumar L'yovam Shalotei Mekudeshes. What happens if the man passes away with no children, then this woman is at the mercy of the mumar to do what we call chalitza. We don't have yibum nowadays. Do chalitza. He's in the church. He's mentioned doing chalitza. So if chalila, there are no children to this marriage, and there are X percent of marriage that there are no children, should be stuck. So in order to avoid this problem, The Ramah quotes the possibility of a conditional marriage. If, at the end of the day, this will happen, he'll die with no children, it will turn out that the marriage is no marriage from the very beginning. Obviously a very limited case, which is being described here in the Ramah. But of course, this opens up a possibility of generalizing it. Let's make every single marriage conditional. Sounds very radical. Yes, it's a radical proposal. That's what the title of the tonight's shiur is, a radical proposal. But it has a source in the Ramah. Ramah is a mainstream, authoritative posek, without a question. Not that there are those who don't argue on the Ramah here either. But we follow the Ramah. Let's extend this Ramah to every single case, and thereby avoid the problem of Aguna. This is a situation which was already proposed in France, towards the end of the 19th century. Now, there was a tumult. The rabbis from Eastern Europe, who were certainly of greater stature than those who proposed this conditional marriage, came out against it. And as a result, it wasn't really brought to fruition. But the same dispute surfaced once again earlier in the 20th century. And this led to the publication in 1930 of a sefer called Ein Tanai B'Nisuin. There can be no conditional marriage. That's a citation from the Gemara in Yevamos, Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, Ein Tanai B'Nisuin. Why not? So the Rosh explains, Ein Odom Osa Bilaso Bilas Nus, that a man does not want to have his relations with his wife to be retroactively considered to be without sanction of marriage. We would call him today premarital. So therefore, he doesn't really want this condition to take effect. He may articulate it, he may say it, but deep down, he doesn't really mean it. Now, obviously, that's against the Ramah. So the Ramah knew the Gemara too, right? What you say, you knew the Gemara? It's on the side already. The Beit Shmuel asks this question. And I'll read what he says. Afal gav bi'alma ain't aminan ain't tanai b'nisuin. In this particular case, it's permissible. Now, what's special about this permissible case? So he explains. Bishlam tanai asher hu mesupuk im niskayim atanai shayach loma shemekadish b'chol ofen shal yibiyos esnus. No matter what condition he articulated, he doesn't really mean it, because he doesn't want to be in a situation where he'll realize that when he was with his wife, it wasn't really with the sanction of marriage. Mashen ken kan, the lekach shash biaznus cannot happen. Velo shayach lo madlo neskayim atanai. It's impossible that the condition is not fulfilled. At first glance, this is unintelligible. What do you mean? If he dies with no children, then it turns out that they were never married. What exactly is the Beit Shmuel? What does he mean? What do the words mean? Let me explain what I think. He means that it's impossible for this to happen in the husband's lifetime. I repeat, in the husband's lifetime, that the marriage should be a nullity. Cannot happen. Cannot happen. Slow. It only happens if he dies. If that is the pshat, which I think it is, then we obviously cannot extend it to every single case of marriage. Now, what's remarkable is, all right, so he won't see it in his lifetime. But he's going to go up to Shamayim. He'll get Pech. He was married for 50 years, but you weren't really married. Pech, Pech, and more Pech. He doesn't want that. That's an excellent question. So, let us turn to another citation in Shulchan Aruch. Yes.
It seems to me somebody, like a modern person today, look at this and say, sure, the Ramah permitted that case because the problem belonged to the husband. He's the one who had a brother who was in the church.
No, the problem is really the wife, because after he dies, she's stuck. It's to protect the woman, not to protect the man.
No woman would marry this guy because they'll say, I might be stuck if I married you. So we're solving his problem, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I would like to say we're solving her problem, but that's a matter of semantics. Let's go on. So in Siman Chavav, we have as follows. This is in Chavav. Yesh Omim, a woman who is not married to a man, and she goes to the mikvah. Some say it's okay. Pilegesh amura b'torah. Pilegesh, a concubine. Ramah continues. V'yesh omrim she'osur, that it's prohibited. V'lokin alzeh, not only is it prohibited, but it's a punishable offense. Mishum losia kadesha. The Rambam. Two opinions here in the Ramah. Of course, you're probably aware of the fact we follow the second opinion, that a concubine is in fact prohibited. Although the Beit Shmuel, not arguing with that, suggests that perhaps it would not be a punishable offense. And he's saying even the entire prohibition, although it's customary, he don't do it, it's not completely clear what the prohibition is in this particular circumstance. This being the case, we can say, when the Beit Shmuel says in Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, that if the man dies with no children, and it turns out that for 50 years they were together without benefit of marriage, it's no worse than a pilegesh. And since the Beit Shmuel will use it, forgive the expression, is soft on pilegesh, he says, although it's prohibited, it's not so clear why and the full extent of the prohibition. That is why he is explaining the Ramah's statement in Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, in this particular case of a brother-in-law who was in the church, in that particular fashion. But the problem is, we follow the Rambam. And the Rambam says that if a man and a woman live together without marriage, it's a Torah violation with Malkus, with a punishable by lashings. So then how do we get out of it? The answer is that the Rambam himself, when he articulates this prohibition, says, Shaboa l'shem znus below kiddushin. When he lives with a woman for the purpose of znus, we'll call it promiscuity, without the benefit of marriage. What does that mean? Well, if he has a steady girlfriend or something like that, well, that's different? So the real answer is found in Perek Beis and Hilchos Nara. We read last Shabbos, not yesterday, not today, but a week ago, Chiyafate, if a man seduces a woman, and there's a particular financial penalty placed upon him. 50 shekel. The question is, wait a minute. If a person is punishable by lashings, that we call Malkus, then you cannot have a financial penalty. It's either one or the other. The Rambam asks this question in Perek Beis and Hilchos Nara, and he answers that the violation of Kadesha, which is the reason one gets punishable, is because there's been a preparation for this act. Now, some say Kadesh is only a prostitute who will be with any man. No, Rambam extends it to any particular woman who prepares herself to be with a man without the benefit of marriage. But what happened if he seduces her? Just all of a sudden, it was without any premeditation, if you will, any significant premeditation, then there's presumably no violation of Kadesha, and therefore there is a financial penalty of 50 shkolin. Oh. Now, clearly in our case, in which he married the woman, he has no intention of illicit relationships. He married her. So what are you going to say? 50 years later, when he dies with no children, it'll turn out that retroactively there were relationships without marriage. That may be true, but when we discuss retroactive prohibitions, that only works in absolute prohibitions. He didn't know about it before, but it turns out afterwards. It turns out it was chazir, who knows what. But this is a different kind of a violation according to the Rambam. The same act in one circumstance could be a Torah violation of Kadesha, and in a somewhat different circumstance is not. So here too, he's with his wife, he expects to be married to her all the time. At the end of the day, it turns out that not. We're not going to say that retroactively he was in violation of the Isra of Kadesh. Now, he'll ask me a question. All right, that works for the first 20 years of marriage. But now, his wife turns 50, 60, 70. What's he thinking? The answer is, still not a certain violation. One of two things can happen. Either she could predecease him, in which case, the marriage is a marriage until the very end. Or, he gives her a divorce before. The brother could also die. And a lot of things can happen. So there's no definitive act of being together without benefit of Kiddush. This is the important principle I wanted to enunciate. And for this reason, we assume that it's only in this particular case of the brother who was a mumar that we say that there's no possibility of the marriage being annulled by this condition in his lifetime, then he really means it. If the possibility exists, will be annulled in his lifetime, he doesn't mean it because of Eilat Amosi Biloso Bilas Nus. And why is it not Nus in the Ramos case? Because from the initial get-go, he expected to have the benefit of marriage throughout his relationship. And we should say more than that, it's not within his power to do differently because things are out of his control. So you cannot say he's living with a woman without being tied, if you will, to the marriage relationship. So this is what the Rambam says. Any intimacy, not in the context of a marriage relationship, which is premeditated, is a Torah violation of Lo Siyah Kadesh. That's a Psak LaHalacha, even though there are others who disagree. Okay? So conditional marriage, in and of itself, although it was suggested by many, Ein Tanai B'Nisuin, as the Sefer was written by many people, is considered authoritative. Rav Kook also contributed to that volume, and he had a different take on it, a much more meta halachic position, that it's impossible to create a situation where marriage can be just undone by the whim of a party, just like that, no marriage. Then you're undermining the very institution of marriage, as opposed to a get. The get is found in the Torah itself. But that's a more meta halacha consideration, which is printed in that sefer Tufa Rav Kook. But the more down-to-earth, nuts-and-bolts objection is what I just told you now, based upon the Beis Shmuel. So that's a radical suggestion, number one. Radical suggestion, number two. Couple is married. Who knows what's going to be tomorrow? Who knows? So, as soon as he marries her, it's hard to believe, but this has been suggested, he will commission the writing of a get. Appoint an agent to write it, and two people to sign it, and to deliver it. Put the whole mechanism into place under the chuppah. I think a prenup's not romantic. How about this? All right. So he said, okay. And then, you know, under certain conditions, whatever they happen to be, if he keeps her in Aguna, the get will be delivered at the appropriate time. The problem with that, it seems to be against an explicit din in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, that such a get is null and void. Why is it null and void? Because the fact that the couple lived together after the person appointed the agent nullifies the agency. And therefore, this get is a nullity. Yes, there are those who want to argue with the Rambam or reinterpret the Rambam, but the simple interpretation of the Rambam is that this get is null and void. Shulchan Aruch says, a person said, divorce my wife. He's nisyach anima. He's with it afterwards. So then, it's a very serious problem. So to get out of that problem, yes?
What happens if a person writes an ethical will?
An ethical will is very nice, but it doesn't help the woman to get out of her aguna state. So let me go a step further. Yes?
If someone has specified that they were living apart for 18 months,
right,
would that make a difference if there's a condition as to when it's delivered?
No. The problem is that the fact that the couple is living together after the get is commissioned, the Rambam says this in and of itself nullifies the agency and the get is absolutely null and void. So there are those who take it a step further. Don't just commission the writing of a get under the chuppah. Write one. Write the get under the chuppah. On the spot. Talk about not romantic. He's getting married, and before he leaves the chuppah, excuse me a minute, take out a pen. And he writes the get. Now he doesn't give it to her, chas v'sholom. The get is put, slow. The get is put, given to a shliach. And the shliach holds the get. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Mem Ches. If someone actually wrote a get, and it's yachad ima, the yichud happened 5 minutes later. He's going to the yichud room with her, and they go to live together for 20 years, etc., etc. You shouldn't use that get. But, im girsha, if he used that get, according to some authorities, post facto, it is migureshes.
Could he revoke the agent?
Slowly.
The agent when to do it.
So that the Bezdin will tell him what to do it. But Ronnie asked a great question, a lawyer's question. Can he revoke the agency? The answer is absolutely yes. And if he's enough of a wise guy, we're afraid that he may actually do it. Now we can try to tie his hands by making him take an oath. He's not going to revoke the agency. And he can even add that if someone claims to the sofa who's about to, or to the shliach, is about to give her the get, or write the get, it depends on which plan you're taking, that he revoked it, that the witness should not be believed. No. And the woman is believed against any witnesses. All kinds of machinations that could try to solve this problem. Okay. It is a partial solution. Once again, not everyone agrees that it works even if he did not revoke the agency. Certainly if he did revoke the agency, in almost every case it's not going to be good unless you somehow find a way how to outsmart him. You know, it's in halacha, it was spy versus spy, and was outsmarting the other one. But as a second possibility, a radical proposal. Yes, sir?
I was just thinking, what about if the witnesses on that original get die in the last 20 years or something?
You're talking about the case where he commissioned the get, or where he actually wrote the get?
He wrote one under ksuba.
Now, if you write a get and the witnesses die, it's not a problem. The get can still be given. The problem is he may revoke it. If he revokes it, the question then becomes, well, then what happens? He revoked it. So then they try these things about the witnesses. And even if any witness says that he revoked it, should not be believed. The question is, does that work or does it not work? If and when and how? This is that detail. Oh, so that's the second radical proposal. And now, a third radical proposal. Again, everything has a place in Shulchan Aruch. These are not just things which are made up out of nowhere. I read you what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Eved Ezer Simen Chav Ches, Siv Chav Aleph. If an individual marries a woman, but the item he gave her is worthless, so then the marriage is nothing. Isuri Hana, etc. Call, Ramah says, call Shetiknu, for us to askama b'neim, shekomish yekadish below asara ochayotze b'zeh. If you get married without a minion, v'over achad v'kiddish, and we say you're not allowed to do it, we're afraid that the kiddushin is good anyway. And even though the call said that's not kiddushin, and they were mafkir mamono, they say the money gave her is ownerless, didn't belong to him. Didn't belong to him, they can't be married. You have to give for your own money. And Bezna has the power to expropriate ownership of money. Nonetheless, yesh lahach malinyan maisa, even though it sounds like it might work, bottom line, you should not rely upon this. But it made it into the Ramah that, we shouldn't rely upon it, but there's something here. Okay. So, many years ago, Rav Henkin, Zichrona Levracha, who was certainly a very, very respected Pesach, no question about that, suggested that perhaps we should combine some of these radical proposals, and if you have many of them together, perhaps it should work. Right, reading from Sefer Kisri Rav Henkin, where they published his works, and here it's a sefer called Pirushei Ivra. Pirushei Ivra was a sefer which Rav Henkin was considered the preeminent Pesach here in the United States in those days. Published I'm trying to figure out the year that it was published, but on the Sharabat does not say the year. I'm guessing it's sometime about 100 years ago, maybe a little bit less than that. It can't be 100 years ago. He first came to America less than that. He came to America 1920 something. Let's say, so it must have been written about approximately 1925 when this was written. And he suggested perhaps we should combine some of these suggestions, each of which is in and of itself insufficient, and put them together. And he writes as follows. Those want to look it up, it's on page Nun Ches. Sakas ovdos vumlolos ad shamayim tagia. The poor women who are stuck, their cries reach heaven. And if it reaches heaven, we have to be sensitive and do what we can. So he suggests that all the Chachmei Ador should come to Yerushalayim. It's 1925, you couldn't get an LL jet. On a certain day, and he makes the following. Number one, at the time of the Kiddushin, he should write a get, okay, which will take place, take effect after the couple parts, ways, physically. Then he told something very strange here, which I don't understand. O she yishtageya v'yamad b'shigono meshach shalosh shanim, which means, unfortunately, he loses it, and he's out of it for 3 years. What bothers me about this line? Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, if a man orders the get to be written, and then he becomes what we call in our language nishtate, he's no longer of sound mind, then the get may not be given. May not be written, may not be given. So I don't understand what exactly means in that line. Someone perhaps later explain it to me. Oh, ya'agen osa meshach shaloshonim. He will keep an aguna for 3 years. Okay, and the Bezin will, in Yerushalayim, will see that's correct. So the get will take effect later on, and you write the get by the Messiah, write the get in his own handwriting. Not a fancy get, a short version, as the Bezin will say. We're not going to call it a get. We'll call it Ptur al Pi Takanas Bezin. Okay. He suggests that the get should actually be given to her in front of two witnesses right then and there. So he can't cancel it. He's trying to outsmart that possibility. Give it to her. But it's only a get on a particular condition. Now, of course, it says in Shachanach, we don't write get out tonight anymore. The Gemara is full of get out tonight. Remember, we don't write get out tonight anymore. It's too complicated. But Rav Henkin was suggesting, look, their screams reach heaven. We have to do something about it. That's what he suggests. And then it says that, let's say the get gets lost. And if it gets lost, it's no good. It has to be extant at the time the divorce is going to take place later on. Then the kiddushin will be al tanai, will be batel mafreya, etc. As we said before. And then they have a kind of a takonas hakohol for 50 years that any situation of this type, the mafkia, the kiddushin, if something happens of this nature. So he combined all three of these possibilities. Let's review again. A conditional marriage, a conditional divorce, and a takana that we saw in the Ramah, Chof Ches Chofal, which he didn't like, but it's printed there, that in such a case, the marriage is annulled by Bezdin, based on Kol HaMekadesh, Adata de Rabbanan Mekadesh, maybe some kind of a Hefker Bezdin, as the case may be. This is what's written. On the side of the page, on the side of it's printed on this page, on the side, Chazart Hadribi, Hadribi, Hadribi. On three consecutive pages, he says, I back out. Why did he back out? Well, number one, he never said it. He only proposed it. It's important to understand. There was a proposal and a solution. They say, let's do it. He's proposing it. And he realized that number one, the people in Yerushalayim did not agree. And number two, that Sefer, Ein Tanai B'Nisuin, was printed 5 years later. And he says, Rav Henkin, elsewhere, that nobody has the right to actually suggest that a proposal should be put into practice unless there is a consensus of many of the great giants of the generation, and certainly someone, says Rav Henkin, of my stature, I'm a small person, he wasn't so small, but he viewed himself as a small person, cannot actually propose that this be done in real life because it's not agreed to by the great halachic masters. This, in a slightly different form, was dusted off many years later, just a few years ago, where an article is written about something called the tripartite prenuptial agreement, which is basically this, more or less the same as this, that it'd be a conditional marriage, and not the writing of a get, but the commissioning of a get, and this idea of the bezin b'mafkia, the kiddushin, as a proposal. Once again, the author was very careful. It's a proposal. He can't say he should do it. A few months ago, some guy came along on one of these, we'll call it more liberal, I don't know what to call it, blog sites, I'm not sure how you exactly call them, and he writes, oh, we're going to do this tripartite proposal, and even if they didn't sign it, it's going to work anyway, which is, that taxes the imagination, how it was going to possibly work. So, we already mentioned three radical proposals, but at the end of the day, their proposals, each one in separately was rejected. Put it together, Rav Henkin, he himself backed out. It was re-suggested, but hasn't gained any traction as far as I know. And therefore, these proposals are only proposals. They're not really solutions. Now, of course, we saw before that there is a view which maintains that a pilegesh is a permissible relationship, a concubine. That's the most radical solution. Just don't get married. But you're not going to be with a woman without being married. Well, who said? We'll follow the opinion which is quoted in the Ramah. Yes, it's not our custom for the last 500 years, but so what? And we should just allow men and women to be together in a concubine relationship. Go to the mikvah and everything's going to be fine and dandy. As a matter of fact, there was a very infamous organization called the Shalom Bias Organization. Some 20 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, they proposed to establish this principle of Pilegesh. No, they had other things in their minds. I don't want to repeat this silly and rather outrageous proposals. It was written up in a newspaper in Washington, D.C., I think, with a whole scandal about it. Not just I'm talking about a non-Jewish newspaper. Leave out the Jewish press, which is a different story. And one of their bullet points was solve the Guna problem. Pilagish, solve the Guna problem. That's a pretty radical proposal. Of course, it's rejected on the grounds that we don't accept that law, that opinion in the Ramah. There would be a prohibited relationship from the get-go. So that's number four, which is not. Okay? Then there are other somewhat radical suggestions. One, you may recall when we spoke about forcing a get, forcing a man to divorce his wife, so there are very limited cases in which, again, I'm not going into the legalities of the United States of America right now, but in abstract, a bezdin can compel a man, even with force, to divorce his wife. Let's simply extend the number of cases in which we can compel a divorce. How so? The Rambam says that a woman who says about her husband, Moy Solai, he's repulsive to me, so we can force this man to give his wife a get. Obviously, we have to know this, tell the truth. Every man will say, they'll teach them two words, Moy Solai, I shall teach her two words, and it'll solve the problem. No, they have to figure out what's Moy about him. What's Moy about him? He's rooting for the Broncos, and I'm rooting for the Seahawks. So it's Moy Solai. I got it right? Okay. So therefore, that's not gonna pass. But all right, there's an expression used, "Amaslim of Herera," so figure out something that's really somewhat repulsive about the man, and we'll extend the principle of Kofin to cases where the Rambam would approve. Truth of the Bavadja has this in some of his Truvis, maybe in some cases a little bit. Remember, Bavadja is make Yotzei Sforat. And the reason he backs off the Rabbi Avadja is because even the Rambam said so, but Maran Bet Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, did not quote the Rambam. He quoted the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said, Chas V'Sholem would be an invalid get. If she remarries, it's adultery. If she has children, they're illegitimate. So people are a little afraid to go there for that reason, and for good reason. And therefore, that's it. But just giving you a list of other radical proposals that would suggest, let's follow the Rambam, even Ashkenazim. Hard to imagine it. Then, I should add, in what I consider to be this list of radical proposals, the extension of what we spoke about at great length earlier in the series, Kiddushei Tos, that there were cases in which the marriage is rendered null because it was made on a mistaken premise, beyond the narrow scope that we've spoken about until now. And we're just, man beats his wife. So obviously he's a bad guy. He was a bad guy before the marriage. Otherwise he wouldn't have beat her after the marriage. So therefore, by definition, the marriage is null and void. That is a radical extension of the, in any event, controversial ruling that we can annul a marriage based on what we call a Kiddushei Tos. And it's simply not going to be accepted by anybody, to my knowledge, who's responsible. There can be borderline cases. The word came out of my mouth. So about borderline personality disorder. Now there's a case, I don't want to go into the details of the case, where a particular woman was declared as being permitted to marry based on some kind of a, if I understand correctly, some kind of kiddushei tos mechanism, with, I imagine, some kind of a psychiatric, purported psychiatric condition. I don't know, some kind of, I don't want to mention the names because I don't want to go into the details now. But the problem with that particular case is it's been completely under wraps, which means no one knows, A, who signed the so-called decision, the halakhic decision that this woman can be married to Kiddushei Tos. No one knows the basis for it. The man himself, who's alive and well, it's not that he disappeared somewhere, that he's alive and well, and in a very famous city in this nation, serving in a very august body in that city, in this nation. Okay? And he can be interviewed. People can discuss whether he is or not in a category of Kiddushei Tos. So it's very difficult to accept such statements on their face. So we have to, this woman, to my mind, is presumptively still married until someone can prove otherwise. If people are going to extend this Kiddushei Tos beyond recognition, that is dangerous. Even the case that I wanted to suggest it, that we spoke about a couple of weeks or months ago, about a borderline personality, even that, so Rabbi Vadya refused to sign on to. So this sounds like, to me, it's even much more questionable. Yes, there are also a whole series of additional prenuptial agreements. Now, the one that we spoke about, we gave out a few weeks ago, that's the one that I think is valid and works. There have been some other different kinds of agreements. I don't want to go into all of them right now. Some require that a man pay an inordinate amount of money for support. And the thinking is that even though it sounds very, very inflated, and therefore should be characterized as a penalty clause as opposed to a support clause, no. We're going to declare it's a support clause. After all, we'll probably find some multi-millionaire who in fact supports his wife, with whom he's living in peace, at least with that much money. So why can't every Chaim Yankel say, I view myself as a multi-millionaire. I'll give you that much money in this particular case of the marriage functionally breaking up. That seems to be quite a stretch. It's hard to accept that. And there were other suggestions. One was proposed by a distinguished rabbi, not far from here, who suggested, he threw in a word, that in case the man does not divorce his wife in a timely fashion, then she suffers emotional damage. It's very hard to quantify. How do you pay for emotional damage? They use a term called liquidated damage. Is that the right word that they use? I think so. If I'm mistaken. Which means they're going to put a certain number on it. A number on it. They're going to give it X dollars. And this amount of money should be paid by him to her as long as she's not being able to remarry because she's still married to him. And it's a huge sum of money. Once again, to me, it sounds like it's a amount of money which probably could not be collected in a bezdin appropriately. And therefore, you run into a problem once again of a penalty clause. Now, it's true that the Ramah says that a self-imposed penalty clause, I repeat, not something which the judge imposed, that we spoke about that in terms of the get law, a self-imposed penalty clause, it's arguable that it does not render the get given under pain of a self-imposed penalty clause to be invalid, at least after the fact. Just to give you a brief citation, we'd like to try to quote everything as much as we can. This is a discussion in the Ramah in Siman Kuf Lamed Dalet. Ramah writes as follows. He writes like this. Im kibel alav knasos. He accepted on himself a knas. Not that they forced it upon him in some bezin. He accepted on himself. That's not an onus. Let him give the knas. Yesh machmirim. The get is no good. Said the Ramah. V'tov lochosh lechatchilo lepotrim in haknas. Ideally, we should exempt him from the penalty. He should give the get of his own free will. Avel mekfar givesh b'pnezeh. Then a get kosher. Hol mitchilo lo ansu lakach. They never forced him to accept this knas upon himself. He accepted it on himself. I want to tell you, as an aside, that there were those who wrote, and you can, this is an interesting arguable point. We're discussing the get law and how it creates such terrible problems with all the gittin since 1992. There were those who wrote as follows. Listen, a man gets married in New York State after 1992. He's accepting upon himself the law of the land. So therefore, when the judge threatens to sack it to him, if he will not give his wife a get, we should view that not as a penalty imposed by a judge, but as a penalty which he accepted upon himself. A fascinating argument. Maybe it assumes that he knew the law when he got married, which 99% of the people don't know. If you don't know, it's hard to say you accepted it upon yourself just because you happen to be a resident of New York State. But I'm just giving you an idea. Okay, so this is a very serious matter. We try to avoid any kind of knas machmasas. So this leads me to my last of the radical proposals. There was a rabbi, I think it was from New England, if I'm not mistaken, who wrote a big, big book. It was called Liftos Mechake Get. As we have Liftos Mechake Kate, we're waiting for the Mashiach to come. The Gunas are waiting for him for a get. He is going to redeem those who are waiting for the get. How so? Very simple. Very simple, elegant solution. There is a principle called Zochen La'odam Shalom B'fonav. What does it mean, Zochen La'odam Shalom B'fonav? Even if a person did not appoint an emissary, a shliach, an agent, to do something, but you know what? We can assume that's good for the person that this should happen, and then we're going to appoint an agent for that individual. Let me tell you where this is actually done in Bezdin. Actually, absolutely done. We spoke about the man's problem, which we've avoided just almost totally this whole series, but we should talk about it a little bit too. And the possibility of what we call a heter meir rabbonim. A heter meir rabbonim means that if there are, Rabbi Gershom said, you may not divorce your wife against her will, nor may you take a second wife. But in a pinch, they will allow him to take a second wife if 100 rabbis sign on. However, there's a precondition. You have to put a get in escrow for to take whatever she wants. Any bezdin that writes a heter meir rabbonim without putting a get in escrow unconditionally is in violation, and it's very possible that the het of the rabbanim is null and void. There's a psak of Moshe and Igros Moshe, although there's some who disagree. It's not simply not to be accepted in any mainstream bez. Okay, what will happen in the following case? The woman who was married kedasu kedin became non-religious, and she's now openly living with her boyfriend. So, very nice, we could put the get in escrow, but she's not coming to pick it up. So she's going to be in violation of the Ten Commandments for the rest of her life. Right? She was married. The husband now has a heter to marry someone else, but she never got her picked up her get. So she's in an adulterous relationship. That's a terrible thing. We have to assume that the woman does not have a psychological problem of Mayim Genuvim, she insists on living adulterous relationships. We're not going to go that far. Why not? If she could have her boyfriend without being in violation of the Ten Commandments, it's objectively good for her, and she hasn't said no, she just doesn't want to come. So if we take that get, instead of holding it in escrow, we give it to what we call a shaliach le-kabbalah, a shaliach, an agent on her behalf to receive the get for her. Wait a minute, she never appointed him. She never appointed him. She has never heard of him. She's not answering the phone calls of the Bezdin. It's called a get zikui. It's good for her to have this get, and therefore the husband writes the get, gives it to the agent for her, who's appointed by the Bezdin as her shaliach, and we hope it works. Can't say sure it works, but maybe it works. Nothing to lose by doing it. So the Bezdin do this on a regular basis in these kinds of sad situations. Came along this rabbi and says, I have a great idea. The man refuses to give his wife a get, no problem. We'll appoint an agent. And the agent should be the husband's agent. He will order the writing and signing and delivering of a get on behalf of the husband. What an easy and elegant solution to the entire Aguna problem. Liftos mechake get. This proposal is, unfortunately, without any basis in halacha. The man is the individual who is required to order the get to be written and delivered. And it's impossible that an agent should assume his role in the writing and delivering of the get. The woman's role is meant to receive the get. And therefore, we can say it's good for her, so she shouldn't be in violation of adultery. In the case of a man, there are three problems. The first and most important problem is you cannot apply the principle of zochin in this kind of a case. As many mefarshim say, zochin le'adam. You can acquire something for a person, even though he's not there. But not zochin me'adam. Here you're taking the wife away from the marriage relationship from the man without his knowledge. That cannot be done, number one. Number two, who said it's a schus? In the case of an adulterous woman, by definition, it's good for her, not to be married when she's with her boyfriend. Who said it's good for this fellow? And number three, the guy's screaming, Shrai Chai V'Kayim, I don't want to do this. The get zikui, she doesn't answer the business phone calls. She's not saying, I refuse. She says, I refuse, and we presumably would not give a get zikui. She's saying no. Even her no makes no sense logically. She said no. Even though it's like Abal HaMagen is a bad guy, and is saying no is terrible, and it's spiteful, and it's wrong, and it's greedy, whatever you may want. But he still said no. How can you say zochin if a guy is screaming and yelling no? So for these three reasons, among others, this proposal is unfortunately without merit. Now I want to end with the following very sad situation. I guess was put on my desk this week, a major article with big headlines, Yediot Acharonot, the secular Israeli newspaper. What happened? Sad, sad story. A couple got married in Rabbanut, and the man had a very serious accident on a motorcycle, ran into a vehicle, was thrown from his motorcycle, and he's now a vegetable. Vegetable. So for 2 years, his wife was still in her 20s, still trying to hope he's going to get better. After she sees he's going to be a vegetable, the doctor said, there's no way. He'll be a vegetable forever. So the article they quoted, Rav Avadia had this case once, and he said, I can't help it. All we can do, he brought maybe a minion to the hospital to pray that the man should die. And he died. Not that day. I mean, Rav Avadia was not a Hasidic Rebbe. He would have died on the spot. He died. I mean, that's sad to say, but what, was a vegetable, a permanent vegetable. So the case, a particular rabbi of an excellent reputation wrote, at least that's what the papers report, that we should say a get zikui in this case. He's not screaming, I don't want to give a get. He's never in a coma, permanent coma. So if he would come to his senses, he'd certainly not want his wife to be an aguna for the next 50 years. So he would be agreeable to give the wife a get. This to me sounds so outlandish. Yeah.
Isn't that what I think what I understood Rabbi Henkin to mean when he said about Mishtata, that there are cases where the man is incapable of giving a get.
Right.
And maybe we can include include that into...
That's why I told you I didn't understand that line, for this very reason. If a man is in the category of a shoter, that means, unfortunately, he's not capable of giving his wife a get because he lacks the mental capacity to do so, then even if he would have... Let's say this case. He had a motorcycle accident. Make a theoretical. And he's gradually losing it. They say, in 5 minutes, my friend, you're going to become a vegetable for the next 50 years. Give my wife a get. I order a get. Please give her a get and write the get and sign the get and give the get. And he goes, flat. Could you give that get? I don't think so. Because, unfortunately, now that he's lost his mental capacity, that get cannot be given. So therefore, even if you consider this a try to invoke get zikui in this particular case, I don't see how it's done. So I'm just... don't understand what this article in the newspaper says. Like maybe it's erroneous. You know, papers don't always get it right.
So then, like, let's get more practical. Unfortunately, Alzheimer's disease is becoming, you know, very prevalent. And, like, if somebody knows that they're in the beginning stages of it, should he give his wife a get?
Bez was involved in such a case. A very fine fella. I love the man. It was active in the Jewish community. In his 40s, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Shem Yerachim. My memory doesn't give me exact details what happened, but if I'm not mistaken, a get was given in that particular case. If I'm not mistaken.
And then could he continue living with her?
He couldn't live with her physically, anyway. Unfortunately, anyway. And there were questions of Yichud. Unfortunately, my memory does not serve to tell exactly what the arrangement was, but a get was actually given in that very sad case. Very sad. Yes, but it was at the time the Bezdin made an evaluation that the get can still be given. I've been involved recently in two cases, one in which a man was, he wasn't exactly 100%. We had to sit with him. I may have mentioned it in the previous year. We sat with him from the moment, first I came to visit him once to make sure then I came back. And I sat him from the moment that he ordered the sefer to write the get, and the sefer was right next to me. For those who know Rabbi Yankel Lichter, he's the fastest gun in the East. He can write a get. You give me 22 minutes, I'll give you a get. Unbelievable. He's fast. He's twice as fast as anybody else in the country that I know about. His father was already a tremendous sefer. Anyway, he wrote the get. I stayed with the man. Two, three people went to give the get to the woman who was very close by. And we... one phone contact was given. He was still of sane mind, we decided. And he wasn't 100%, but in the case of a woman, which was more difficult, because there we couldn't write the get in the facility which she was, because there was no makom. You can only write the get if you had to write the grunt to Tinek to write the get. And we had to be in phone contact from the time that the get was written in Tinek until they drove over to this place somewhere near the New York, New Jersey border, some nursing home. And we had to talk to this lady continually to make sure she was okay. And we did. She was... and the get was given. Right now, as we speak, we have a very sad case. The case is a woman who unfortunately is not really with it. And the husband was very nice and he said, enough. He wants to give... First, he asked for het me'er abonim. He said, we can't do it because the woman is... You can talk to her. She doesn't remember much, but you can talk to her. And then the question was, should the get be given? So the family, including the children, say, and even he said, if you give her a get, it'll be traumatic for her. So we said, what can we do? Heter we can't, the get we can't do.
But she'll forget about it in a minute.
So that was my question. That will she forget about it in a minute was my question in the case of the get we gave in that nursing home. But I wanted to suggest that maybe it's not a good get, perhaps. Because what the Gemara calls Mishalcha v'chozeres, which means you send her away, she'll come right back. She's not going to realize she's divorced. The Rabbanim wrote back to me, no, they think that would not be a problem. The get can go on, even though she may forget that she is divorced in 10 minutes from now. Okay, I accept. I'm not trying to make sorrows for anybody. In any event, that was given. The case we're dealing with, we're supposed to have a conference call on it tonight, tomorrow, next day, sometime very soon. I don't know what we're going to do, because a get, I think we probably could give her, but the kids say we can't give it to her, so we can't help them. So there are sad cases. So I have only two shiurim left for this series. in 2 weeks and then in 4 weeks, Bli Neder. And I was asked to talk about a couple of topics, which I will try to do. And if you have anything else, speak now, because there's only two shirim left. One is it ever appropriate for a man to say, I'm not going to give her a get? In other words, they're not living together anymore. Is it ever appropriate for the man to say, I'm not giving the get right now, I want to wait till A, B, or C happens? That was your question. That's one. And two, I want to probably say this for the last year, we more about hashkafas here. But I see everyone screaming, this lady, this poor, this idiot. How can it be? I don't believe that God wants it to be my fate. I don't believe that God wants it. I'm 34 years old. My husband is a vegetable for the next 50 years. I can't have love. I can't have support. She has a baby to raise. Da-da. I can't bring more children into the world. I can't believe that this is what God wants. It pulls at your strings.
And
your,
yeah, her husband can say the same thing. I can't believe I was talking to you.
Yeah. Okay, whatever it may be. Are there any other items that you want to speak about that you want to say you want to raise your hand about in public? You may want something in private, but I'm in the public forum. I'm happy to. Nothing else right now? Okay, so I wish everyone a good vach. Thank you very much for coming.